All right, Pastor Frank asked me about a week and a half ago if I would preach this Sunday, and my first thought was, well, that's the game. Like, and I know how this game is going to go. And so when the game got canceled, for those that don't know, I'm just like this gentleman over here that's wearing a Michigan shirt. I'm a Michigan fan. And so when the game got canceled, I became very positive. And so this is a positive experience for me. This was a great weekend. We held Ohio State to 0 points. I never thought that would happen. And so through this cancellation, I've become more positive. I'm positive that my football team is awful. I'm positive that my coach needs to be fired. I'm positive that we're becoming a basketball school instead of a football school, but I'm positive during this Christmas season, so please pray for me as well. But in all seriousness, I do want to talk to us a little bit about this story in Luke chapter 8, and I want to parlay it with preparing our hearts for Christmas. Because if we're not careful, Christmas will come and go, and we'll miss the celebration of the greatest gift that's ever been given to us. If your birthday were to come and we were to just skip past it, maybe the older you get, the more you want to skip it. But can you imagine, as you were younger, someone just skipping past your birthday? No, it's something we wanted to remember. It's something we want to celebrate and something we want to enjoy. And I think that's what we do with the birth of Jesus. Even though the birth has a lot of different things that goes along with it, you know, it's just a small part of the story. It's the beginning. It's the foundation. It's really the beginning back in Genesis 3, where we see that there is a need for a Savior one day. And at Christmas time, we see that gift and how Jesus Christ is given to us. But I want us to look at this parable in Luke chapter 8. And this is one of those parables that is in all three of the synoptic gospels. That's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke. John kind of did his own thing. Like, he saw Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and he read those, and he goes, you know what, you guys have already heard that stuff, so I'm going to write my own stuff. And so that's the reason John just holds it out, because you've already heard the story before. And in fact, as Jesus tells this parable, he may have told it more than one time. You know, it may be something over the 3.5 years of teaching that this is something that he had shared on more than one occasion. And we think about these parables. Why is Jesus telling us things in parables? We remember things in stories. It's easier for us to remember. Do you guys remember in high school or college when you had to memorize something? You didn't just memorize the points, but you made up a story or an acronym, or you made little cheat sheets to help you understand the information we were supposed to remember. You know, I think we remember stories better than anything else. I know this when I preach. When I preach, I will give 30 different scripture references. And what do you guys say after the service? Oh, Scott, I never knew Taco Bell was your favorite restaurant. That story you told about Taco Bell. Or I didn't know you rooted for that team up north. Like, because those are the things we remember, our stories. And Jesus says, I want to teach you some kingdom principles. I want to teach you things about how my world should be run. I'm going to tell you this through a story. So the verses we're going to read today, Jesus spoke them, but they were not actual events. This is a story that Jesus tells so we understand more about his kingdom. This becomes a transition point in Jesus' Galilean ministry. No longer will he just teach without using a parable, and he'll have to explain the parables because it seems that these truths were hidden from those around. In fact, sometimes these truths were hidden from the disciples themselves, and we'll see that later here in verse 9 or 10. And it's the parable of the sower and the seed, and maybe it's something that we've heard before. But I'm going to have 4 points in your bulletin, and it's going to be the 4 different places the seed was spread. And then towards the end, I want us to compare this to the way our heart can become. So the 4 different ways the seed was spread, the 4 different locations, that'll be point 1, 2, 3, and 4. But it's a long enough line where I want you to match that up with the way our hearts can become. So the first 4 we talk about, the foundation of where the seed is spread, that is for believers, non-believers. But when I go through the second time and we look at these 4 locations and we compare them to our hearts, I want us to look at the heart of a believer. And sometimes our heart as a believer may not be as pure as it once was. So when we look at this parable of the sower, it's Jesus, Jesus is spreading the seed. And it goes on to say that eventually the disciples will spread the seed. And then eventually, when it comes down to us, we are the ones that spread to the seed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a sower. It's all of our jobs to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Whether we have a seminary degree or whether we've been a believer for 48 hours, it is our job to share the good news. And let me say, generally, I think when I first became a believer, I had more unsaved friends around me. I would say some of the most impactful times you'll have as a believer is one, when you first accept Christ as your Savior and you still have all those fun people around you. And two, when you're in high school, when you're in college, when people are looking for answers and people are open to the gospel. And so I would encourage you, high school, middle school students, college students, and young adults, this may be the greatest time in your life where you can share the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. And I think what happens when we look at this book, we look at this parable, we can look at it one way or two ways. The first way is we can look at, hey, this is a historical book. This is some good information today. And we're going to leave here feeling good about ourselves because we learned some information. And let me tell you, there's some good things about that from time to time. You know, we just finished up through our online Bible study, the survey of the Bible. And please forgive me because anytime I like read a passage of Scripture, that becomes my favorite part of Scripture. So for right now, this is my favorite Bible study that we've ever done. The survey of the Scripture, for 4 weeks we looked at the Old Testament. For 4 weeks we looked at the New Testament. And there was no inspiration during this Bible study. It was all information. And so what we learned is how the Old Testament is fit together. And we see that prophets like Isaiah were saying, listen, Israel that's divided to the northern and southern kingdom, hey, these Babylonians are going to come in and overtake you. And Daniel, people like you are going to be taken off into exile. You know what we've been studying for the past 8 weeks? Daniel, right? Right? And it helps us understand the Old Testament. And then we looked at 4 weeks in the New Testament. How the first part of the New Testament is really about Jesus Christ, understanding who Jesus Christ is. And the second part of the New Testament is the church and the building of the church and how the church should act and what the church should do. I would encourage you, if you have any time at all, go onto our Church Right Now media account and watch all 8 of those lessons to help us understand the Bible better. But with that, if we leave the Bible as simply just information, it's not what it's meant to be. We look at the verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the word of God is like a sword, and it cuts and it divides the soul and the spirit. It cuts right to us. It is powerful. It is alive and living in us. And when we see the word of God like that, it transforms when we read it, and it helps us with our spiritual development. No longer are we just looking for information, but we're looking for application and how it can penetrate our hearts and make us into the people that God wants us to be. And so ultimately, you'll remember, and I think I said this a few weeks ago, we are not human beings having this spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings having this human experience, and our spiritual bodies will live on for eternity in one of two different places. So it's important that we develop our heart towards a spiritual atmosphere. And so let's pick up this parable, chapter 8 of Luke, starting in verse number 4. It says, and when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it grew up and withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and it choked it out. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out to them. Listen to this. He who has ears, let him hear. So real quickly, these 4 different places where the seed was spread. The first one was the path. And so Jesus is saying this story to probably a strong agricultural society. And so they would understand about planting. If you wanted food, there wasn't a Meijer, there wasn't a Kroger, or what I just recently got introduced to is DoorDash, where you just click it on your phone and they bring it to you. What a great system. I'm probably going to go broke because of DoorDash, but yeah. So they didn't have that. If you wanted something, you put the seed in, and months later you received it, or you had some sort of trade where you could make something and you could trade people for food. And so when he's talking about planting seed, he's talking about growing your own food, it's something that these people could relate to. Maybe we don't relate to it as well, but it's something that these people would relate to. And it says some of the seed was thrown first on the path. And I like to think about this maybe Charmar path or some running path that maybe it doesn't have like the blacktop, but it's been trampled on and people have walked back and forth on there. And they throw some seed down and obviously it's not going to stick. It's just going to sit there. And the bird's going to quickly see some lunch, come and get it and devour it and take it. It didn't have a possibility to grow. The second one is the shallow or rocky area. If you're taking notes, number two, the shallow or rocky area. It grew real quick, but it had no moisture, had no good soil, and it quickly withered away. It didn't have the foundation it needed to succeed. It was there, it was excited, it kind of took root for a second, but then it was gone. The third one is the crowded or thorny area. This was probably good soil, but there were thorns that were there that came and kind of wrapped themselves around it, and it wasn't able to get the nutrients it needed. I experience this every year when we plant our garden. When we do our garden, we're very excited about it. We rototill it. We have it nice and set. We put the nutrients, the Miracle-Gro, we water it. And then about a month later, we just, you know, maybe we're not weeding it as good as we should have. And there have been times where we didn't pick the weeds, and the weeds kind of overtook the garden, and it didn't grow as well as what it could have. It was in good soil. It was in a good location. It was a good seed, but it didn't take because there were other things that came in and took the nutrients out of what it needed. And finally, the fourth one, the good ground, the good soil. And it says it was sown, whatever was sown 100 times came out. So imagine planting your garden. You put 10 cucumber seeds in there. And at the end of spring and summer, you harvest 1,000 cucumbers. Did this actually happen? No, it's a parable. But it's saying that's how powerful the Word of God is. That's how powerful this Bible is, that it can produce things in ourselves that we never thought possible, and it can do things in our lives that we just couldn't imagine. Now, let me say, we've seen a run of people just coming to the Lord the last few weeks. I think in almost every indoor service, I'm not sure about outdoor services, but almost every indoor service at the end of service, people are coming to know the Lord, and it's an exciting time. And I think maybe because of where we are, and I keep saying this time and time again, the mental health of our community is probably at the lowest point it's been that I can remember. Now, I wasn't here for the Great Depression, so please forgive me. I can't compare it to that. But there is a problem. We have the answer of hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. And I think when you take the need, the want, the desire to get better, We match it up with the hope of Jesus Christ, I think we are primed and in a position for revival. Everything else that has taken our attention away in other years, all the, I've got to buy this, I've got to get this food ready for Christmas, I've got to get this for my job, all this stuff has kind of gone away, and we've realized we're missing something, there has to be something more in this life, and some of us are realizing that that person is missing is Jesus Christ. I had the most wonderful day on Thursday, because this doesn't always happen in ministry. I feel like in ministry, we're sharing the gospel with people, and they're like, oh, yeah, I got it. I'm like, well, do you want to accept Christ? They're like, no, I'm good. And you keep preaching, you keep preaching, you keep sharing the good news. And I've heard stories just like you. Hey, pray for so-and-so. I've been praying for my daughter, my son-in-law for 12 years, and they still haven't come to Christ. But every once in a while, you get days like Thursday. Thursday, there was an individual who came to me, and I know his wife came to me about 2 or 3 months ago and said, hey, pray for my husband. He doesn't know the Lord. And I said, you know what? We're going to pray for him, and he's going to accept the Lord one day. So Thursday, I got an email. It says, hey, I want to meet up with you and talk about spiritual things. He goes, you want to meet up next week? I said, no, you need to come in today. Let's talk. And so he came into my office, and big, strong man, just broken down in tears, and says, And I didn't have to lead him in anything. He just says, listen, I know I need Jesus. I've heard Pastor Frank say this time and time again. I've seen my family. What do I have to do to accept Christ? And I share the plan of salvation with him. And he says the same thing you probably thought. Shouldn't there be more? Like, shouldn't I have to do more? Is it more than just giving my life to Christ? And I said, no, it's this easy. It's this simple. And we prayed right there in my office, and he accepted Christ. And we've been communicating the last couple days, and just to see his fire, his passion for the Word of God. He's already signed up for the verse of the day, wants to do a Bible study. Like, he's just passionate about the Word of God because there was the good soil of his heart. For 50 years, God has worked on this individual. Probably for 20 years, his wife's worked on him. But it was at that moment, at that time, where his heart was ready to receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That doesn't always happen that way, but when it does, there's nothing more exciting about it. And what I want to say what happened on Thursday is really what I believe is happening in our community. And it always says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I believe we are in a time in our life as individuals, our life as a church, where we'll look back and say what God did during the quarantine was 100 times better than what we ever thought would happen. And what we thought was problematic, God used for a revival in our church and our community because he worked the ground and we harvested the soil. And so part of my challenge for you today is notice the family and friends and coworkers around us that are hurting. Notice the seed of the good news that we have. Maybe it's been spread, maybe it's there, but the soil is good. It's ready to be prepared for us, and it's our job to share this good news with other people. We move along in verse 9 and 10. It says, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and that hearing they may not understand. You know, you parallel that with what was said at the end of verse number 8, where he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Like, everyone has ears, right? Like, well, except for the one where Peter kind of, you know, that was later on, that was different. Everyone has ears, and Jesus is teaching, why are people not understanding what's going on? You know, the multitude that was hearing this parable probably went home and thought, man, Jesus gave a really good farm report. Like, that's right. We need to stop wasting our seed on the path. Like, we know it doesn't grow and the birds take it up. And we know those rocky areas that we think we're going to have a better harvest, but it never, we need to stop planting on the rocky areas or the thorns. We need to take better care of our field and get these thorns and these weeds out of there. That's a great farm report. I think the good thing about us believers, some 2,000 years later, we know the end of the story. We have the Holy Spirit within us that interprets these things for us. The disciples did not have the Holy Spirit living within them. The disciples were somewhat blinded. I imagine there were times where, like, Jesus is teaching and they're nodding their heads like, yeah, okay. It's like, did you get that? No, I didn't get that either. Okay. Yeah, Jesus, we got it. Yep. And so their understanding of what was going on, he says, listen, I'm telling these to you in parables so you can understand what I'm trying to say, so you can understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. You know, I think about the secrets of the kingdom of God. There's still secrets that happen today, and it's not like some kind of like secret handshake we have where, like, all right, you got the Genoa handshake, you're down, you got it. But you understand there's secrets that, like, we as believers that get it, and like other people who are not believers don't get it. You guys get that? Let me share a couple with you. Giving and serving at the church is a blessing. That's a secret. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I know there's times in my life where I gave to the Lord and God gave me in an abundance. And I know there was times where I didn't have money to give and all of a sudden my car broke down that same month. I can't explain it to you, but I know there is joy in giving. There's joy in serving. Some of the best times I've had was going on mission trips or doing different things, serving the Lord. Some of you get great passion serving in youth ministry or kids ministry. I don't get that. But you get great passion and reward from the Lord for doing so. Like, man, I just want to go watch the babies. That's awesome. Keep doing that. But we understand that does not make sense to the rest of the world. Why would you give money to the church instead of preparing for your retirement one day? Why would you give up your time serving those in the church? It's a secret, but you know what, when we do, man, it makes us feel so much better. Another secret that we have in the kingdom of God is eternal treasures are better than earthly treasures. I think we learn this maybe not as like an early Christian, but the older we get, I think we learn this principle even better. Because what we learn is these things that will last forever are better than things that only last for a little bit. And we learn those things that we really, really wanted and we saved up a long time for and we realize, you know what? After a few years, they're not as shiny as what we once thought they were. And maybe even they break down. But the internal investments of things that will outlive us, they call that a legacy. The legacy of your family and the spiritual legacy that we have is more important than the things that we can buy here on this earth. Another secret of the kingdom of God, which doesn't make sense to us until we really learn who God is God's unconditional love for you and I. It doesn't make sense. Why would God love us so much? And there's nothing that you can do that will separate you from God's love. There's everything that we can do that can separate us from friendships, maybe even spouses, from family. There's all kinds of things that we can be separated from. But what I love to be reminded of, there's not a time where God will love you any more or any less than he does right now. And it's not based upon you doing your devotions, saying a prayer, or putting money in the offering plate. It is an unconditional love that is given to us only through the grace of God. Amen? Amen. I miss the outdoor service. I say amen, and they just honk, honk, just kind of keep going. Does that make sense to the outside world? No. How can a God love you so much? You need to earn God's love. You need to do these things to have more good works than bad works in our life. And so this parable is being presented. We understand it. You know exactly what I'm talking about even before I explain it because the Holy Spirit has already taught us this stuff. We've already learned it through other sermons. We know what the conclusion of this is. But Jesus has to explain this to the rest of the people here that day. And he does so starting in verse number 11. He says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are the ones who have heard, and the devil comes out and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the one on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but it has no root. They believe for a little while, but at the testing of faith they go away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but they go on their way and are choked out by the cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. As for what is in the good soil, they're the ones who hear the word of God, hold it fast and honest in a good heart, and bear fruit and patience." All four of these groups were interested in religious things. All four of these groups that we're now going to apply to us, our lives, and our hearts were interested. You know, I think about Judas. Judas was there. Judas was interested in religious things. He was interested in this man named Jesus, so much so that he became one of the 12 closest people. But we look at what's the problem? What happened here with these different seeds? Was it a bad seed? Just, hey, we had a bad seed that year. That's why it didn't grow. Was it a bad sower? The one that planted was bad? I mean, there's a lot of excuses that can go into this. And I think we as Christians, now we transfer to look at these four things. We as Christians sometimes complain that the reason my heart is like the path, like the rocks, like the thorns, is because of other things. God, you don't know what's happened in my life. God, the preacher doesn't make sense to me. God, my family doesn't want to do this stuff, so it's hard for me to want to do it as well. God, I'm so busy with these things in my life. I don't have time for these things. And so I believe, as we talk about believers, once you are saved, you are always saved. There's nothing that can take us away from that salvation. There's nothing that can take us away from the love of God. But I believe that sometimes our hearts can be hardened, and sometimes our hearts can go away from what they were designed to be. And I want to look at these four places and what it means if we're in one of those four places with our heart. Because our heart really is the soil. Our heart shows where we are at. Our heart shows the way we act and the way we react to other people. Our heart shows in what we do and what we don't do. And we have a natural tendency, if we're not watering our hearts with the things of the Lord, with the Word of God, that our hearts will lean towards one of these other three areas. And I just want to get it straight, get it set up before Christmas comes, that our hearts are nice and pure and ready for Christmas. And so the first one, it talked about this path. And I think people probably had a head knowledge that, you know what? I look around here and I see there probably is a God. And I see that, you know, I want to be a better person. And maybe Jesus was talking to the obstinate Jewish leader where they knew the Old Testament. They knew about God. They just said, I don't believe Jesus is that God, and I don't believe I need a God because I am a good person. So I'm going to compare the path with a hard heart. Sometimes as Christians, we can have a hard heart. This hard heart is, God, I know that you are I know that your son Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that's the only way I come to him, but I want nothing to do with you right now. I don't want to hear any conviction from the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be involved in ministry in any way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I only get to live on life for these few decades, so I'm going to make the most of my time. I'm a believer, but I want nothing to do with you. And I think if we were to be honest with each other, maybe you've been there, but we all know someone who's there right now. We all have seen someone who is serving, actively involved in the church that just simply wants nothing to do with God. And that's because the soil of their heart has become a hard heart. The second one with the rock, we see that, you know, these are probably people that come for a little bit. They saw other people coming forward, and they came forward as well, and they meant to make this commitment, but there's just a lot of stuff going on in their lives, and they just weren't able to. And I would call these people, the point number two, a fickle heart. And sometimes our hearts can go back to this fickle heart. And hey, we just need to be good people. Good people get into heaven. You know, you can't tell me that what God wrote in his word 2,000 years ago still applies today. Things have changed. We need to change with them. And whatever kind of feels good, if it feels good for you, God wants you to do that. Because God wants you to be happy. That's why he created you, to be happy. And I see that sometimes our hearts can lean towards this, that we know the truth, but we just get mistaken by these things that the world brings to us. And if we're not careful, we can have this fickle heart as well. The third one was the thorns, and these are people that believed, and it had good soil, and it has a good heart, and things are going to grow, but these weeds come in and strangle it. I think these are people that, man, I love the Lord. Like, I want to serve the Lord, but you know what? God wants me to provide for my family, so I got to work a lot of hours at work. God wants me to enjoy my family, so we don't go to church on the weekend, but we go to these tournaments and camping and vacations, and we're not going to be there at church, but, you know, I just want to let you know that I really love God. I just don't have time for him right now. I've got to work. I've got to spend time with my family, and I've got to spend time with my health, so Sunday mornings are the only day I can get to the gym, and so that's what I do. God, I love you. I just don't have time for that. And I would match that up with a materialistic heart. We want these things. We need these things in our lives, and we put God at secondary. And when our hearts are materialistic, it leads to problems as well. And finally, this good soil, this good heart. This individual that came to my office Thursday morning had some pure soil where those who had sown the seeds, it was already there, it was ready to grow. It was so exciting. And this is God's heart. The last one, point number four, good soil equals God's heart. This is where it says, God, whatever you want in my life, whatever you want me to do, I'm your chosen servant. If you need me to go here, I'll do this. If you need me to do that, I will do that. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Turn to your neighbor and say, we still make mistakes. Tell them their top three mistakes they make. Do that on the way home. That's fine. We don't have time for that now. We're still going to make mistakes, even with God's own heart. Think about the one person in Scripture that was called a man after God's own heart, David. David had an affair, he had someone killed, and was not a good father. This is a man after God's own heart. I think about this, we're going to make mistakes, but as believers, we need to be the first and the quickest to apologize and make it right. You're going to blow up, you're going to make a mistake, be the first to make it right. And I think it's a good point that we, A.W. Tozer says, faith is not a matter of IQ or education, it's a matter of humbly preparing the heart to receive God's truth. So when we come on Sunday mornings or these Bible studies or these devotions, what we do, it's not the information, it's information, information. It's God, prepare my heart to be in tune with you, to receive what you want me to hear. And so when we create this soil in our life, we create this good heart, I think it's so important that we look at these two things. First of all, is that we value the Word of God. These are not your notes, these are bonus points. Value the Word of God. When you value the Word of God, when we see it as a living, powerful thing, when we value the Word of God, it allows us to want to read God's Word. It allows us to come to service ready to learn God's Word. When we place this value on God's Word, we give time and we understand what gets watered grows. What gets water grows. If you want to learn the Word of God, surround yourself with the Word of God. And secondly, real quick, as we get ready to close, check your heart regularly. Check your heart regularly. And that's what I want us to do today as we prepare for Christmas. Many of you have these smartwatches and Fitbits that will tell you your heart rate at any time. When you're sitting, you know, it's one thing, and then someone else comes in the room and scares you, and then your heartbeat goes up really high, or you're watching a movie, and then your heart rate gets nice and low, and then you go for a jog, and it gets high, and it shows you where your heart is, where it should be. So we're constantly able to track, like, our blood pressure and see what's going on just from a little watch. I think it's just as important that we check our hearts spiritually. God, is there anything in me that shouldn't be there? God, am I focused on you? What do I need to be doing? Check our motives and our priorities regularly. You know, I think this Christmas is going to be different than any other Christmas we've experienced. And I pray that it's the most powerful Christmas you've ever experienced. One for yourself and two for those that are around us. That we've taken off a lot of different things. We've scratched away a lot of things that maybe don't need to be there so that we could focus on the one true thing. And that is praising God for the gift that is Jesus Christ. So based upon what I've said this morning, where would you say the soil of your heart is today? Would you say your heart is hardened, that you're only here because that's what you do on Sunday mornings? You're only listening online because that's what you feel like you're supposed to do? Would you say that maybe you're in a rocky place where you know you want to, but you really don't want to? Maybe you're in a thorny place where you really want to learn more about God. You want to give him your life. You just don't have time right now. There's too many things going on in our lives. And believers, I know that sometimes we can go to one of these three different places. Or would you say today that, God, here's my heart. It's the good soil. I'm ready for you, and I want more.